Welcome to Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn. Straight talk, enthusiastic support, and heartfelt encouragement for you to open up to your sacred sexuality. And now your host, Leslie Blackburn.
Thank you for the beautiful introduction. And I'm excited. It's such a pleasure, such an honor to host and share on this show about sacred sexuality and what this is all about. We're going to include some meditations. Each show, each month, I guide us through some sort of going inward and breathing, as well as discussion, awareness, sharing some of my own stories and my own path. And letting go and just exploring what is sacred sexuality and what are all those facets and how do they unfold. It's a beautiful way to connect with what can be a topic that's often edgy or shadowy or squashed away in the concept of our sexuality. So I am grateful and honored to share in that realm. So as we begin today, I'm going to guide us into a little bit of time to kind of sink in and get in this space. So getting ready for a moment, closing your eyes and taking a breath. So invite yourself as you settle in, wherever you are seated or lying, to just breathe. Take a nice inhale and perhaps exhale and give yourself permission to make a little sound. And acknowledge any nervousness. Allow yourself to let go with your breath and invite heaviness, nervousness, or anxiety to drop away through your body and away into the earth. Feel how you're connected to the earth through your points of contact on the chair or the floor or the feet, perhaps through your feet, through the floor. Wherever you may be seated, feel those points of contact as a way to connect your essence with the earth. And feeling gratitude for that connection with the earth. The earth carries away heavy, dark energies gratefully. She welcomes them because she transmutes them, cleans them, sort of like energy recycling. So that we don't have to carry that old garbage that we don't choose to carry anymore. And no one else has to carry it either. So breathing, feeling, and noticing what it's like as you breathe. Notice the sensations in your body. Can you tell, for example, when you're inhaling versus when you're exhaling, how do you know what sensations in your body unfold that indicate to you that you're on an exhale? And notice that exhale, notice that opportunity to let go, to release life. To let go of the heavy stuff. That it's through creating that space of letting go that we can invite in a breath on inhale, invite in spaciousness and life and nourishment as we breathe in. As we exhale, letting it all go. That very essence of letting go is what we're going to explore further today. So feeling for a moment and connecting with the intention of health, healing, wholeness, new perspectives, new awareness, and shedding away old layers that bind you, old armor and shielding, to allow our naturally blissful selves to shine through. Taking a breath of gratitude for yourself, for taking time for you to listen and explore something new, perhaps. And I invite you to feel that in your body. So with that breath, bringing your awareness gently back into the space and opening your eyes. So feeling your body, your presence, your aliveness, you're right here. And we are going to begin today with a topic that quite frankly is making me really nervous. So I'm going to just put that out there right now. So our topic today, which I'm feeling very called to share and also very nervous about, is orgasmic repertoire. Orgasm. Specifically today, we're going to do a little focus on female orgasm for women. Obviously, there are orgasms that are also in the realm of our male friends. And, what I'll talk about today is very related to both. And a little bit of a focus today for women. And as we go, we're going to just weave together some threads of embodiment. What we've been working on, we talked in the last episode about what's it like to get in your skin, what's it like to feel in your body, to feel connected and feel present and feel your aliveness, be present enough in your skin to notice and feel what it feels like to be here, to be experience this vast human experience that we're having. We are infinite beings in finite form in this energetic world. So what's it like to get in here in our skin, in our bodies, that I have such gratitude for having? Like, the fact that as energetic beings we can be here in a physical body is just amazing. It's what gratitude and awe that we can be present and feel and have a container to experience energy. That's really what our physical bodies support us in. So it's time, I'm feeling this very aliveness right now, to weave some of these concepts together into the realm of exploring orgasm. So we're at this cusp right now. I shared the last time, having just returned from a vision quest, that it really inspired me and helped me deepen with the earth and really connect with the land and with spirit and with my guidance. And as that part of that process is really bringing awareness to the quality of the number four of the directions. And so a piece of that is sort of acknowledging and noticing what's the 40-day cycle since the vision quest and how does that feel? And what I noticed as I was breathing today was I'm right on the cusp of that. Literally, very shortly, we'll be at the 40-day point. And that feels really good. It feels like this is time to share more in the realm of this story and this path and this journey. So I'm going to describe a bit what the heck is an orgasm. We're going to explore a little bit what are the concepts or what are the definitions around what one really is, and then share in some possibilities. And the reason I say that is in my own journey, I just didn't even know what was possible, reflecting back. And so I'm recognizing there's value in just seeing the possibilities. Like, there's no expectations or judgment of where we all are in our journeys. It's more I want to invite this discussion around seeing that there may be more available than we even realize. And in my journey, I've discovered that was the case for me. And what started for me was I used to think, so in my own path of my sexuality, as I was blooming into sexual maturity and started the process of exploring, which was frankly kind of a random thing, and went kind of along the lines of, as I invite in our masturbation experience, for example, those of us who do explore it before exploring with a partner, which is not everyone, like what reflecting back what that feels like, what is our masturbation experience, and was it, you know, nurtured and guided and educated and supported, or was it hurry up and clean up before mom finds out? And I will be the first to admit that mine was very much hurry up and clean up before mom finds out. So I stumbled into the path, I think as many of us did, just feeling these sensations in my body and starting to wonder what that was all about, and then sort of stumbling upon that first orgasm and kind of going, wow, you know, this is interesting, and I would love to explore that more, and then exploring it more, but feeling some guilt and shame around it. So I just want to share that that's when I'm talking about this journey, that's how mine started. Very, very much around, oh, I'm not supposed to do this. I'm not supposed to touch my own body. I felt shameful. And, I still, though, with the curiosity and the drive of that sexual energy experience, did choose to explore more. And so in my early experience with orgasm, it was very, as I reflect back now, very limited. And I'll describe it a little bit more in a moment. But as that's expanded and changed, I realized at first that I was thinking, well, if I ever saw any other possibilities, through the realms that at the time were only available through, you know, reading pornography or there were very limited education tools, at least in my world, around that. So I think many others, sort of stumble across that stuff through magazines and things that maybe didn't show it in the most healthy way. And so I would start to explore, like, well, wait a minute, I keep hearing these things about a G-spot and all these other aspects. And I just assumed that that was only a capacity that other people had. So when I'm in the realm of orgasm, I only know what I know. And, you know, I read these things that, well, some women are capable of experiencing orgasm in this way or in that way. And I would go, oh, well, I must be not one of those women. So I would just sort of go, bummer, wish I could be, and oh, well. So I wanted to set the stage with that because I think it's really important. I think one of the crucial aspects of orgasmic repertoire is the realization that it doesn't have to stay in the static moment of where we are now, that what our experience and what we know now at any given point in our journey is not all of the possibilities. And that doesn't mean that, oh, I'm not capable and somebody else is. It's that, oh, perhaps that's something I could explore and learn. Perhaps that's something I could allow myself to experience. Perhaps I could let go in some way that shifts my capacity or opens my and expands my field of awareness in this. So to me, this is like the crucial link. It's something I don't see written about much at all, actually, that what I do see written about in my work now and in my research and in my experience is that, yes, sometimes, you know, that there's this huge, vast range of possibility. And again, we'll get into all of what I mean by this possibility. But that, oh, you know, some women are capable of this, some women are capable of this, or some women experience this and some women experience this. And yes, that's all true. And I want to invite that it is possible to experience other facets too, that just because you're in one camp, so to speak, doesn't mean you can't experience all of them. So that was one of probably my biggest life aha moments that really catapulted me into sharing this path with the world. The beautiful healing path of sacred sexuality, of connecting with and healing in our bodies, and of learning to work with our energy in new ways, the way it changed my life, the way it changed my physical body, the way it changed my orgasmic repertoire is just, I needed to stand on top of the mountain and shout out that this is possible. I was really, I didn't know it was possible, and I feel like so many people don't realize it is. So that's what this is about for me. I want to share possibilities without expectations, just offer that it really is available, that we can expand and be in new possibilities, that we don't have to assume we are only in what we've experienced in the past. Stay open to the vastness of expanded possibilities. So that just feels really alive for me. And I'm going to take a moment to take a breath here and take a short break.
This is Sacred Sexuality Live, the third Tuesday of every month here on Body, Mind, Spirit Radio from 10 a.m. until 11 a.m. Eastern. And if you'd like to get in touch with Leslie for a private session, which she does offer, we'd ask you to contact her at www.mysteryschoolofthetemplearts.com. There is an opportunity there for you to reach Leslie and talk maybe privately about this topic or many others. And if you would like to speak about this topic that we have today, we do invite you to contact us right now. The phone lines are open, and that number would be 646-378-0378. That number once again is 646-378-0378. And welcome back to Sacred Sexuality.
Thank you, Annette. So here we are, our topic, orgasmic repertoire, specifically in the realm of female orgasmic repertoire, because that is my most closest experience. And not to deny our male friends, please do continue to listen in and explore this, the awareness that this can be about. We're going to now continue with what I touched on in the first part of the show. First of all, was just this awareness that, wow, whatever our experience is, there's the possibility of growing and learning and seeing things in a new way and perhaps expanding into new possibilities, that we aren't necessarily limited in ways that we assume. So I want to take a moment now to kind of give a little bit more detail about what I mean. What the heck is an orgasm and where are we going with all this? So I'm going to begin with a couple of definitions of orgasm, and it comes from a couple of different approaches. What I think we most often associate with orgasm is what was kind of originated in our society some years ago with researchers, Masters and Johnson, that did a lot of physical measurement and physiological response work, and they approached, you know, really kind of opening up a lot of awareness around our sexuality from a very, I'll call it from a masculine, and by masculine, again, I don't mean gender, but that sort of linear logical process, data-oriented kind of experience, and that's beautiful. That's a big piece, right? So we're balancing the masculine with the feminine in all we do, and that analytical thinking things through and measuring and getting data is important. The other piece is our feminine fluid allowing feeling flow, and so I'm going to invite a couple perspectives from both sides. So the first is the physiological response, sort of the data-oriented version, and this is orgasm is often defined as having certain involuntary contractions of the pelvic floor for women, and the pelvic floor in men and women, but for women then in the uterus and the vagina, and even contractions in both men and women in the anus. So those involuntary pulsings or contractions that we feel in the pelvic floor, and then the nipples becoming erect, the areola contracting a bit as the orgasm is neared and sort of becoming erect and hard and intense. There's an intensity in the nipples often as we approach and move through orgasm. And for women, there's usually a little more moisture in the vagina and different secretions perhaps that happen. And all of this, there's this sort of a heartbeat and that speeds up, our heart races, sort of a flushing of heat in the body, and all these things can be measured and are part of this orgasmic release response, which is really beautiful and can be described, you know, in the flip side of that is, wow, it feels good, you know, so it can feel releasing, it can feel various range, which I want to get to actually. So another way, I want to invite a new definition, possibly a new definition of looking at of a way to look at orgasm. And this comes from a beautiful man, a teacher of mine, who does a lot of research in the realm of energetic orgasm. And he defines orgasm as any event that manifests energy into this dimension. And this is Kenneth Ray Stubbs. His work is really powerful in the realm of energetic orgasm. Any event that manifests energy into this dimension or into this realm. So sit with that for a moment. Like, that's a big deal. The concept, as we've explored, of us being energy bodies and then working with energy intentionally in the body, then imagine what the availability is of, as we can open a portal, so to speak, to invite energy into this dimension. It's vast. So in our capacity of working with energy, we have sort of these, you know, limited potentials of well, we can get so much energy from our food or from the sun. The reality is our sexual energy, we can double, triple, and exponentially work with energy in ways that are just unfathomable, you know, just vast. So in that realm of what orgasm is, I want to invite, so in that definition, hey, any event that manifests energy into this realm, to really bring intention to our sexuality and our orgasm from that very nature, that it is more than the physiological response, that we are imprinting, we're opening a portal, we're opening a gate, we're connecting with and imprinting our bodies in a very vast way. And we can use that orgasmic energy to heal our own bodies and to change and bring aliveness into our bodies. We can then use it to you know, in conjunction with our partner, be very intentional about how we're sharing it, and use it to manifest our heart's desires and even to connect with the divine. So talking about orgasm to me is a very vast and powerful and sacred experience. Often we tend to rush through them. So, or we don't pay a whole lot of attention to what we're paying attention to in the moment. You know, maybe our eyes are closed and not looking at anything or being open. Maybe we're in just a rushed experience and it's kind of a hurry up, get it over with tension release. And again, let me invite you that orgasm is beautiful, however we choose to explore it. There's a huge range of possibility. So those two definitions, sort of the physiological response and the fact that it can be working, it's really working with energy. So we actually have, in addition to our physical bodies responding in orgasm, we have energy bodies that also respond in orgasm. And those experiences and sensations are, again, very vast, very different. The experiences even within the physical realm are vast. So I'm going to come into that for a moment, in a few moments. And then the experiences within the energetic realm are vast. So we're really multiplying the possibilities here from the basic single orgasm experience. In my past, for example, all I knew was sort of a clitorally stimulated release experience that felt good. Awesome. It was great. I would have said, anybody who would have asked me at the time, I had a great sex life. I enjoyed my orgasms and my sexuality. And it's all I knew, like clitorally stimulated orgasm with no other, you know, nothing inside my vagina. In fact, if anything was inside my vagina, it had to be out, like a penis or a toy or a finger needed to be out before I could relax into, I wouldn't even say relax because it was a very tense orgasmic experience, into releasing in an orgasm through clitoral stimulation by my own hand with my fingers. So that was all I knew. And now I'm offering that there are possibilities that are far beyond that. So let's come back to the physical, first of all, and invite some new ways of looking at it. So the types of female orgasms and the physical I've seen written about in various resources and in my own experience now, I want to share a bit about the beautiful range of the orgasmic repertoire in the physical realm. And I want to really bring like joy and safety and what do I want to say? Honoring, revere, like, your path of choosing to explore your orgasmic repertoire is beautiful. And it's not dirty or shameful or or disgusting or all of these other words that that I know I've experienced at different phases of my life. And I know as I've worked with a lot of women that other women have felt. So it is okay to touch your body. It is okay to explore this. And as some of these ideas come through, like, explore that, feel them out. What's it like to explore your body? In fact, I have a quote I recall from a book that said, the more one masturbates, the more different things one can find that will be true for them. And that this was the very essence of orgasmic repertoire. So the types of female orgasms, as most often written about in the physical realm, are kind of three aspects. And for me, that started with clitoral. So there's, to name the three, there's sort of the clitoral stimulated orgasm experience. Then there's a blended G-spot or vaginal orgasmic experience. And then there's a cervical or uterine orgasmic experience, the stimulation coming from those three places. I'm going to dive into those a little bit more. So for me, it was an unfolding kind of in that order. So our clitoral orgasms are, first, to just describe the female anatomy a bit, the clitoris, which is the part of our body that's equivalent in nature to a man's penis or lingam, is sort of that band of tissue. It can go through its own erectile function. It's got a great deal of tissue that actually extends deep into the body and splits into two pieces inside the body, in addition to what we can feel outside the body, which is most commonly associated with sort of the little love button or that nub, or, you know, the more prominent piece of the female genitalia, which is, you know, quite frankly, most of the female genitalia is not very prominent. It's inward. That's the very nature of female genitalia. So the clitoris is this more prominent piece. And actually, in utero, when baby girl and baby boys have not yet completely been distinguished as baby girl and baby boys, all of our sexual tissue it comes from the same place. And it is literally the same tissue that forms the clitoris as what then forms the penis or the lingam in a boy. So the ovaries actually are the testicles. So the ovaries, sort of, you can picture it as sort of descending down into the labia that then swell and become the testicles inside the scrotum, as a visualization. So it's hard to describe that without seeing imagery of it. But the idea is how in embryo the human body actually forms our sexual genitalia in from the same tissue, and it moves into analogous parts. So it's really beautiful, amazing to see that work. The clitoral orgasms I'm describing are most associated with, there's kind of two nerve bundles that that I'm going to speak to. The pudendal nerve for the clitoral stimulation is what gets stimulated in a clitoral orgasm, and it's kind of the front part of the body, of the pelvic floor muscles. There's sort of a section near the front of the body, or the more anterior part of the body, that get involved in the clitoral orgasm. And ejaculation, female ejaculation, which is another beautiful topic that we'll touch on a little bit here, but that's the whole topic for itself on another program. So those muscle, the first part of that muscle are part of what gets engaged in clitoral orgasms. So in a clitoral orgasm, it's very superficial in terms of, it's very much the outside of the body. And it's sort of a ballooning upward inside the vagina. So I feel it as an inhale, sort of that intake of breath, contracting upwards, pulling and drawing upwards. A lot of muscles are often involved, and it's like, and hold breath almost, and then exhale, let it go. And it's so it's very, what I'll call, clenching and pulling in and tense. And in my past, you know, very sometimes tense to the point of, like, once it was over, it was like a nice release. But then you're like, okay, that was nice, but I'm just glad it's over. So very mild emotional connection to that type of orgasm. It's just kind of, yeah, that's kind of the quickie for many of us, for myself included. So I want to take us to the next level of this blended orgasm, or the concept of going inward a bit. So in the beautiful realm of the female body, we're very inward in the yoni. And yoni is a term in Sanskrit that means sacred space. And sacred space, such an honoring term. It is our beautiful sacred space, the yoni, that we choose as women to allow ourselves to touch or be or enter, or to allow and invite a partner to. And I want to take a moment to really reinforce, again, the beautiful revering of that, to really respect ourselves and respect others in that beautiful space of connecting with that sacred space in the body, the yoni. So the second kind of physical stimulation leading to orgasm in women is this blended G-spot or vaginal orgasm. And this is, we're getting both sets of nerves involved. So the second, so I mentioned the pudendal nerve bundle, and then there's this pelvic nerve bundle we'll talk about in a moment, connected with a deeper place. But in the blended place, they're kind of both involved. And now we have sort of the back two-thirds of the pelvic floor, PC muscles, and a little bit of uterine involvement. And here the vagina does sort of a compression downward, outward, bearing down feeling versus the tense pulling up, drawing in feeling. I think it's also helpful to take a moment and just describe what I mean by G-spot or sacred spot. For women is the G-spot. For men, the sacred spot is the prostate, actually. For women, though, where we're staying for today, the G-spot is this beautiful place that's not just a spot on the wall. So I first started to explore my G-spot back when I was I was 16, and with a boyfriend, and I had heard about it. I'm like, okay, let's find it. You know, like, hey, let's go. And we worked with stimulating sort of the anterior wall of the vagina, reading through some instructions on what that might look like from a book. And we're like, I don't think I'm finding it. And what I found in my body was, yeah, you know, okay, you might be there, because now, okay, push harder. And then when I got this experience of getting enough pressure to feel any sensation whatsoever that had a glimmer of feeling good, it ended up being so much pressure that it just crossed the line into pain very quickly. So there, it was what I recognized much later. It was basically this numbness, the shielding I was carrying in my G-spot that was like, it just wasn't available at the time, the sensation wasn't there. So years later, as I explore that again, many, many years later, and we go back into that G-spot place, and what I found again was tightness and tension and numbness. And as we explored this time a little more consciously and in a different, much different place in my path, I started to recognize and acknowledge that my body was carrying some trauma there. And when I could release, and when I went through the process of releasing the trauma, it let go and my body changed. And this is a big part of what I was referring to earlier about why I want to share about this work. So while that's a much longer story, it's just a sprinkling to say, even though we may not feel at first where our G-spot is, that the possibility of resensitizing is there. So and that it's more than just a spot on the wall. It's a very three-dimensional body of tissue that is, again, part of the erectile tissue function in women. And it's a beautiful, beautiful, sweet area for me once it woke up, once I invited it to gently come alive. So in that blended vaginal place, that's it's a different orgasmic experience. Again, the clitoral is very drawing inward, upward, tight, and the vaginal one is very much compressing downward, outward, blooming open. The third one is the cervical or uterine orgasm. And this one, for the first few years as I was exploring in this path, I would read about this from different sources and hear about it and learn about it and just be like, yeah, that was kind of over my head. I mean, because at first for me, even the G-spot orgasm was just not even in, I was just like, maybe I'm just not capable. I didn't have experience with either of these. And now I've felt what it is to experience these. And so I want to describe them from that place. So yes, the cervical or uterine orgasm is you're tapping into a very, very deep nerve place in the pelvis, more connected with the pelvic nerve. And this is intense to earth-shattering emotion, as one person describes it. But now we're getting into actual cervical jostling, like literally the motion. So not just say for the clitoral stimulation where it's sort of rubbing the clitoris, for example, or the vaginal or G-spot stimulation, which gets into rubbing and connecting with the G-spot. And actually these are quite understatements because it's more than just the technique of rubbing or touching, but just to simplify it for the sake of comparison, the cervical uterine orgasm experience or stimulation experience comes from a deep jostling connective experience with the cervix and the uterus. So this is from deep penetration. And for me, completely out of my realm of having any awareness around until quite recently in the past couple of years. And this one is a deep, deep place. It takes a long time to in the stimulation place for that, with a lot of relaxation and a lot of opening, for me anyway, to get anywhere near the level of emotional vulnerability and opening my body in a way to allow this to unfold for me. So there, in order of sort of availability, like clitoral orgasms are kind of at the surface and now way more easily to access. The G-spot ones are deeper, more emotional connection, more vulnerability, and a totally different experience. And then the cervical uterine ones are in the place of just absolute vulnerability and surrender and slowing way down and really trusting in deep, deep ways that I didn't even know were possible. Just, wow. The other way I like to describe the orgasms that I think gives a good a sense of this contracting and expansive piece is I feel like we have either yang orgasms, which are very contracting, tense, pulling in, clenching, tightening. Sometimes they don't even feel like they're all that worth it afterwards. And then more yin or expansive, blooming open, outward, relaxing, blissful. So smiling with happy sounds versus the oh my gosh sounds that can sometimes sound like you're in pain. So again, this is all just a range of possibility. It's not that one's bad and one's good. It's that these are possibilities to explore and very much in the realm of how you're feeling in your energy. So some of these orgasms can be very draining, like you've lost a bunch of energy. So are you experiencing orgasms that drain you and feel you sort of tired afterwards? Or leave you feeling tired afterwards? Or are you experiencing orgasms that are rejuvenating and gaining energy and receiving and allowing that pleasure to unfold that as you explore in this realm, this vast experience of, I'll call it the spectrum of possibility, that just feel it. What's it like to explore different kinds and different ones? And what's it like to maybe breathe and slow down in a way that invites the expansiveness to unfold, that invites the shift. So I have a question here in the chat room, and what I want to, and I'm going to read through. So the question is, so I love my orgasms when I'm vaginally fisted. Which type of orgasm is this? So this is a question involving vaginally fisted, which is basically saying deep penetration. So whether that's with a penis or a fist or a toy or fingers, it to me, what that means, and it would depend on this person and your experience, is you're getting a very serious deep penetrative experience. That is likely very connected with either blended or that cervical uterine connection. So if the jostling, if there's actually a connection where the fist or the penis or the toy or the fingers are connecting with the cervix and moving that part of the body, it actually shifts and jostles and connects with this deep nerve bundle. So it's a very, very deep experience. It can be overwhelming sometimes for some people and for others. I know in my journey, what I've been describing is sort of coming from a place of clitoral stimulation and then gradually opening my body and letting my emotions and my vulnerability and my connection with myself, holding that space for myself, but also then inviting my partner and being held and supported by loving partners that have helped me open in a way that my spectrum of experience has opened into the G-spot and vaginal orgasms and the more uterine deep cervical orgasms and female ejaculation, all of which have come over time in a spectrum of experience. In that realm, that's one experience. That's what I'm describing as my spectrum. I know I have another friend who, as I've talked to her, found out that she didn't even know what a clitoral orgasm was. All of hers had been from deep penetration. And as she was opening up now in her newness, for her, was opening up into clitoral stimulation as supporting her orgasmic experience. So I'll invite, the realm of possibilities are huge. And what feels good and feels right for you is exactly perfect for you, you know, and inviting and exploring different ways to share energy, both. And again, I want to invite this is not just about a touch technique of how can I be stroked or stimulated, but it's also, can you support your body to let go of old experiences and release traumas and all these facets that we've talked about on prior episodes of letting go in the body and working with emotional release and letting some of this old stuff leave so that we can feel all these experiences. In my experience, my body was shut down from feeling any of them. So it wasn't that I could just sit down in one day and go, oh, let's find this particular thing. It was actually an unfolding over years of awareness. And not to say it always has to be years either. So thank you for that question. It's really beautiful to hear and share in the realm of our orgasms, because our orgasms, it's so beautiful, right? This is an empowerment. This is such a beautiful thing to go, wow, I'm allowed to talk about my orgasms. I'm allowed to feel them. I'm allowed to experience being in my body and with my partner. Yes, and so, oh, I want to acknowledge, yay, thank you. I get it. So the response was, thank you. Yes, it is a fist, and it is the thrusting that does it. And absolutely, that's likely very connected to that deep cervical space. And what I've found also in that is exploring differences between doing small vibratory connections so that the motion is not a full all the way out and back in, but just a few millimeters away from the cervix and back in, and seeing how that feels versus like large movements and just play with that edge of almost vibrating right at the cervix, or backing off and giving a little energetic space. So sometimes when we have a lot of contact at the cervix for a long period of time, there needs to be, you know, we're creating energetic circuits and we're in our touch with our partner. And as we're touching in different places, our fingers connected with nipples, our lips connected with skin, the lingam and the yoni, or penis and vagina, as I mentioned before, all of these connections are creating circuits. So when there's a contact point at the cervix, that circuit, what I've found is giving a little space, breaking the connection of actual contact for a breath can help shift the experience as well. Sometimes for me, that can help be what opens up an ejaculation or other experiences. So, gratitude. Thank you for asking these questions. I want to acknowledge another question from the chat room. I can't look at my partner in his face when I orgasm. He is hurt as a result. And I'm going to really acknowledge and honor that, because that's a beautiful thing to share. And I want to share that my ability to keep my eyes open during orgasm wasn't there for a long time, let alone looking my partner in his or her face. What's happening in our orgasm is we are letting go. We are doing the very most vulnerable experience that we can talk about. It's the releasing and letting go of control that often allows us to be seen so deeply that it's scary. And to even look our partner in the eye and be in an eye-gazing, connected moment without orgasm can feel really intense. So I would invite, if you want to shift this experience, to start with that. See and connect with your partner. If fully clothed, just take a breath and be with each other. I invite this often for couples. I'll suggest eye-gazing as a transition of energy experience. So say you've both come home from the day from very different energies, spiky, you know, school, work, whatever it is, and you're bringing these random experiences from outside the house into where you're connecting or wherever you're meeting. And we tend to sort of just go, you know, oh, okay, you're home or whatever. And we tend to not really see and be present with our partners. So slowing down and connecting with, say, 5 breaths, standing face-to-face or seated face-to-face, and breathe and see each other in the eyes can shift your whole energy into one of welcoming and inviting each other into the space together. I really encourage that as a way to deepen together into the very concept of intimacy. Once you explore that in the realm of you know, slowly unfolding in just day-to-day experience, fully clothed, or even to begin lovemaking, then explore also what's it like to, as you reach in your place of orgasm and things are getting intense, find those little edges. There's this little place that happens. I call them the fruit flies sometimes. Like, we build in pleasure to the point where we shut down from the experience and block it. It's like a self-sabotage mechanism comes in and we're like, oh, like, I can't, what do you mean? I can't feel good, you know? And to notice that and notice the thoughts and the messages that are arising in that moment of the shutdown experience. Or, for example, as you're building an orgasm, notice when you feel called to close your eyes and either disconnect or go inside. And just, can you explore the edge a little bit? And what do you find that comes up? And then support you in the space of letting that be seen and witnessed. And you can share that with a partner or with yourself. And as you play with that edge, and this is the root of this, all this work is this releasing old stuff experience. When you play with that edge, you can let go of the old things so that the next time when you're building towards an orgasm, there's a change. It feels different. It looks different. So if it's just doing, you know, I'll put it in kind of bluntly, if it's just doing the same sex in the same ways in the same old experience, then it's going to result likely in the same kind of experience of orgasm or the same experience of not having an orgasm, which can be a big, tough one for people, myself included. Having an orgasm was a really tough thing for me and still is elusive at times. But just giving yourself permission to be with what it is as it unfolds rather than shoving it back away, because then it just will come back and resurface another time. So that, coming back to the question, you know, seeing your partner in your eyes, that your action of whether or not you're feeling available to do that is in no way reflection of your partner either. So I want to be really clear. If they're feeling uncomfortable, acknowledging those feelings for them is beautiful, but it's not yours to own. You know, each of us in a given relationship owns our own stuff. And so that person needs to reflect on why that feels so uncomfortable for them, because it's not a reflection of them. It's you, and supporting you in what you need in that moment is important for you, as well as supporting your partner in what they need, but that it's not a reflection of one or the other. So I'm getting a comment back on that. Thank you. I think it will help to have him see me and not his former partners. And yeah, I mean, it can be very connected to former old stuff for sure. And so, again, you don't have to own to try to change his experience. You get to decide what you're, you know, if you want to shift so that you can allow yourself to be open and open your eyes, that's beautiful, and support yourself in it. But it's It's not just about making him feel good about that. Like, it's so you can feel and connect with your partner, and then he can experience that with you. It's a beautiful thing to share. So, yes, my point is be gentle with yourself and take your time, and you're not doing anything wrong. It's all good. So I'm going to take that with some gratitude. Thank you for all the comments and questions from the chat room. And we're going to do a little break.
This is Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn here on Body, Mind, Spirit Radio. And Leslie would like to invite you to her Sacred Sexuality Shaman Apprenticeship from October 2012 through February of 2013. This is the time to confirm your intention to join the circle. Leslie wants you to understand that if you're looking for a deeper way to find out more about your own practice, learn more about connecting and sharing with your authentic gift, in this world, maybe you want to teach it, it's just you and your partner, maybe it's just yourself, exploring the realm of sacred sexuality in this apprenticeship is for you. Further details can be obtained at her website, mysteryschoolofthetemplearts.com, and we do wish to stress a sense of urgency because she will need to know that you are making this commitment as soon as possible, so you'll want to send a letter of intent and your deposit by September 24th. Once again, that is the Sacred Sexuality Shamanic Workshop. That is not the easiest thing in the world to say, my friends, so thank you for your kindness and bearing with me. We also want you to realize that the Shamanic Apprenticeship is open to men and women of any gender preference. It does not matter what your identity is sexually. We want you to know that if you feel called to this path, this is an open opportunity for you. Again, mysteryschoolofthetemplearts.com to find out more about the Sacred Sexuality Shamanic Apprenticeship starting soon. Also, new fall Sacred Sexuality class, Polyamory and Alternative Relationships, that will be Saturday, October 6th, 2:30 to 4:30 p.m., as well as One Love Sacred Sexuality Healing Workshop, the same day, Saturday, October 6th, from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. And again, you can find out more about that at the mysteryschoolofthetemplearts.com. The next community gathering is Sunday, October 7th. It's a new time that month, 5 to 7 p.m. And if you're wondering what the Mystery School of the Temple Arts is all about, you've got some questions, but you're not sure where to start, you definitely want to attend a temple gathering. It's a regular gathering of seekers that get together to connect and discuss openly on topics that you may have felt in the past were just not something that you could discuss with anybody else. This is the place to do it. It's a beautiful group of people that comes together each and every time. And it is known as a community of truth, which is similar to a satsang in the yoga tradition. It is free. However, donations will be accepted to support the temple. Always, always welcome. And Leslie does want you to RSVP and receive your location details. You'll find out more about that at mysteryschoolofthetemplearts.com. You can also find out there how Leslie is available for private sessions. And we'd love for you to get in touch with her if there's anything that she can do for you.
So invite us all now to take a breath. Exhale some sound. Invite your body and your awareness to settle down in and to really reflect for a moment and feel what you're noticing in your skin as you breathe, in your belly, in your pelvic floor, bringing awareness into this deep root of your body. And go, yes, you know, I'm allowed to notice and feel and be in my body. I'm allowed to feel good. I'm allowed to feel pleasure. And notice when your body resists. Often our message of resistance is contracting, shallow breath, tightness, feeling anxiety. Exhale and release those sensations. Allow your body to relax and give yourself permission to be gentle, to take your time, and to explore your sexuality in ways that feel safe and healthy and good for you. And inviting yourself to let go of something that you're carrying, a worry or a thought. What is it that you can invite to drop away into the support of the earth? And let go of the need to haul it around. Perhaps it's been something you've been carrying for years. Allow yourself to release. Give yourself permission to feel. And allow yourself to open your heart. Open your heart to the possibilities that surround you. Feel yourself beam like a sonar out the front of the body, out the back of the body, the behind the heart, the sides, out through the ribs, down through the central channel of the body, and out through the crown of the head. Feel your heart just beaming spherically all around. Sharing loving kindness. Inviting that to fill someone you know who's suffering. And then invite it back into your own heart and welcome it. Gratitude and loving kindness. May your heart be filled with loving kindness. And then taking a breath, releasing. Gently bringing your awareness back into the space and opening your eyes. It is with gratitude and loving kindness that we bring a close to the show.
Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn is a production of Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, and it is heard live on the third Tuesday of every month from 10 a.m. until 11 a.m. Eastern. Leslie would like to invite everybody who is feeling the call to open up deeper within themselves, their own relationship with their own sexuality, perhaps even teach other people how to do this, open to all men and women of any sexual or gender identity. This is your program, Sacred Sexual Shamanic Apprenticeship. This class will be held between October of 2012 and February of 2013. More details can be obtained by going to the website, mysteryschoolofthetemplearts.com. You'll definitely want to take the time to confirm your intention to join the circle, because Leslie needs to know that you are committed to this and receive your letter of intent and deposit by September 24th. mysteryschoolofthetemplearts.com. We'll give you information about the next temple gathering, the fall classes that begin soon, and all the information you will need to contact Leslie to work with you privately, if that is what you so desire. Leslie Blackburn and Sacred Sexuality.
Join us again next time for continued support on your path of self-realization. The power is within you. To heal your body, connect deeply with others, manifest your heart's desires, and experience your deepest bliss. By our healing, we impact others, inspiring love for humanity and the planet. Thank you for joining us for Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn.